الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the Creator and the Sustainer of the Universe, peace and blessings upon His servant and messenger Muhammad forever. Amen. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except the one true God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger and servant of God. I greet you with our usual greeting, the universal greetings of peace, a greeting which has been used by all of the prophets from Abraham through to Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Today we have our 27th program in our series dealing with moral teachings of Islam. More specifically, we'll be looking at the question of forgiveness and purity of heart. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid, and I have joining me as usual on today's program, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Can we start off by referring to what the Quran has to say about this virtue of forgiveness?
Certainly. The first thing that the Quran emphasizes is the relationship between piety, or the quality of being God conscious,
yes,
and having this quality also of forgiveness. For example, in chapter 3, verse 34, giving a description of the true believers, it says, الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس. That is, those believers are those who spend freely, whether in prosperity or in adversity, who restrain anger and pardon others, for God loves those who do good. So in that sense, there's a connection between piety and the quality of forgiveness. The Quran also makes a connection between the forgiveness on our part and our need as human being for God's forgiveness of our own sins. And of course, all of us need it, because nobody is perfect. For example, in chapter 24, verse 22 in the Quran, it says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, addressing the believers, let them overlook and forgive. Don't you wish that God forgive you? So if you love to have God forgive your sins and errors and mistakes, then you should also be able to appreciate also the sins and or difficulties of other people and forgive them whenever they try to correct the situation. The Quran also ties between forgiveness and perseverance or sabr. For example, we read in the Quran, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. For those who overlook and that's forgive and practice perseverance, this is indeed a sign of determination, that's of good character. خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. Accept apology, grant forgiveness, and ordain everything that's decent, and keep away from those who are ignorant or those who cannot control themselves. So these are three examples of how forgiveness as a quality is related to other moral virtues that we have discussed in this series.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps we could expand the topic a little bit more by, or develop the topic a little more by examining some of the prophetic traditions in this regard. Can you perhaps comment or shed a little light on what the prophetic traditions have to say about this question of forgiveness?
There are several references to that of the saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad, and his own behavior. Maybe you can have a glimpse by looking at perhaps three or four examples of this.
Yes.
First of all, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, tried to indicate that the strength of the person is not his ability to defeat someone or wrestle with someone, but rather a person who can control himself. When he says the strong person, as narrated in Muslim, the strong person is not the one who can defeat the others or wrestle with them, but the truly strong person is one who can control himself when he's angry. In At-Tabarani, another collection of the prophetic saying, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, should I tell you about something that would heighten or make your structure or buildings or palaces in paradise, if you will, just as a symbol of reward, higher, and the thing that God also would raise you in degrees because of? They said, yes, what was that? He said, to be forgiving and to control yourself in the face of someone who lost control over you or provoked you, to forgive a person who was unfair or unjust to you, to give someone even though when you were in need he didn't give you, and to keep your contact or kindness or connection with someone even though he might have not really been reciprocating or did not really show the same kind of concern. To take the practical side of the prophetic tradition, the behavior and example set by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we have several examples of this. Just to take one, narrated in At-Tabarani also, it says that, I think it's in At-Tabarani, an Arab, a Bedouin person came to him, and he said, he asked for some provision. He needed, you know, money or whatever. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, gave him. And he said, all right, have I been fair to you? But the man in arrogance and rudeness said, no, you have not been kind, nor have you been good to me. So many of the companions around Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they got provoked, they got very angry, they started just rushing towards him to punish him. You know how he says that to the Prophet. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, restrained them. He said, no, let him. And then he entered his house. And then he sent, asking for him to come. He said, the Prophet wants to see you. So he went to the Prophet in his house. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, all right, you need more here. And he gave him additional, you know, whatever provision that he needed. And then he asked him in private in his house, you think I have been fair to you? He said, certainly. May God really bless you and reward you good for your kindness. He said, fine. He said, listen, you know that my companions, when they heard you, you know, attack me in the first, there is something in their hearts, you know, they feel a little bit of unease about it. Would it be possible for you to say that also in front of them? He said, yes. Actually, the Prophet was more concerned about that person's relation with others, not about his own. So the following day, the Prophet, peace be upon him, went to the mosque, and the companions were there, and that Arab, the Bedouin, also was there. And then he stood and he said to the companions, he said, that Arab, that Bedouin fellow, yesterday claimed that we were not fair to him, and we have given him some more of his need for his needs. And he claimed that he is satisfied now. And he turned to him and said, is that true? He said, yes, may Allah or may God, you know, bless you for your kindness. Then he turned to his companions to explain to them in this exemplary lesson. He said, the example of this man and myself is like somebody who had a camel, and that camel started rebelling and running away from the owner, mm-hmm. just as a symbolic example. And he said, when she started running, people started running after that camel, so they increased in its excitement and rebelliousness. But that man said, wait a minute, leave it to me. I know more about my camels, and I am more kind to those camels than you. Leave it, or leave her to me, or leave it, whatever, male or female camel, it doesn't matter. Then it says that that man picked a little bit of grass, and then he started getting close to the camel, you know, appeased it and just got it, you know, settled. And then after that, the camel was very easily controlled by the person. He said, this is the exact similar example. That's, if you got angry against that fellow, and if I let you, you would have killed him, and he might have even died in the state of ignorance, and he might have gone to the hellfire. But look now at the result of, you know, looking after his need in this, you know, compassionate way, or forgiving his infractions. That's why the Quran, for example, in one verse, it says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. It may be that there may be an enmity between you and somebody else, and then he might turn out to be your closest associate or friend. This is the kind of attitude, both in the sayings and actual behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or peace be upon him, to show us the way how to deal with these outbreaks of.
Well, now, some people might argue that that anger is just a natural human reaction to stress, and they might find it difficult to understand that when Islam, you know, places emphasis on forgiveness, that they might argue, well, isn't, some people might argue that isn't this really asking for too much?
That's beyond the human capacity.
Mm.
Islam never asks anybody for anything beyond human capacity. The Quran makes that rule clearly, that God does not charge any soul with anything more than its capacity or ability. But without being angels, it is still possible for us as humans to try our best. Maybe we might not succeed at all times, but we should try always to control this anger and not let it be a source of rash actions in state of rage, for example. Now, the other thing that we should keep in mind, that we should make also a distinction between getting angry or feeling bad for the sake of God and feeling bad for your own sake or your own ego. The first type, to feel angry in a sense of feeling disappointed and sensitive when you find that people, for example, are disregarding the teachings of God, or that they are rebelling against God, which, like I mentioned in the previous program also, is a combination of sympathy and anger, not anger in the rage sense. That is not only permissible, it is desirable, because that shows the sensitivity of the believer to the teachings of God. It doesn't mean that you, you know, force people into something that, you know, in a situation where you should take a different kind of action to invite them to the path of truth. Nor does it mean that you can take any rash action and that's really bad in terms of the overall result. But to get angry for yourself, the protection of one's own ego, well, many times when we do that without some degree of control, it could lead to disasters. Like somebody just telling you a word that you didn't like, and somebody just rushing and, you know, shooting him or something like that. So this is the kind of anger that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, teaches us to try and control, so that we don't go too far, we don't get berserk, you know, reacting to any particular situation of provocation. It does not mean, however, nor does it ask, to get back to your question, does it ask the human to be other than human? That is, it does not require us to be totally insensitive and with too thick skin in the face of, for example, insults or attacks by others. But it simply says, try to channel that. If your situation calls for forgiveness, you forgive. If you, it calls for some control, for some time, you should be able to practice that control. Indeed, to prove to you again, since this is the essence of your question, that Islam does not require us really to be more than humans, but to try to perfect ourselves as much as possibly can be done. In one saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, narrated in At-Tirmidhi, he said, people are created in different degrees or different categories. And he mentioned particularly four. He said there are some people who are too slow to get angry, but they are too fast to forgive. So they get angry very slowly, and they are very fast forgivers.
Mm-hmm.
He said, secondly, there are another type of people who might be fast in getting angry. They get angry quickly, but they forgive quickly. Thirdly, there are some people who are slow in getting angry and slow to forgive. And fourthly, of course you can guess the rest, there are people who are very quick in getting angry and very slow in forgiving.
Right.
See? And then he commented, he said, the best of all of those people is the first category, the people who get angry slowly, they don't get angry too quickly, and they forgive very quickly. He said, the worst of them is obviously the last category. Those who get angry very quickly and they are very slow to forgive. So within this human limitations and peculiarities of every human, what is really required is trying our best to control anger.
Now, are there certain internal or certain innate qualities in some people which, in your opinion, make them more likely to be forgiving than, say, others?
Well, perhaps the most important innate character which cause people to forgive is the purity of their hearts. The hearts which are connected with the Creator, the hearts that are trying its best in terms of feeling, intellect, and behavior to comply with the will of God, is the heart that's more likely. I'm not talking about claiming to be pious, but real piety that's really in the heart, mind, and actual behavior. Indeed, in the Quran, for example, in chapter 59, in verse 10, describing the prayer of true believers, it says, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O our Lord, do not make in our hearts any feeling of grudge towards the believers. In a saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Ibn Majah, he asked people, or he was asked in fact, he said, what or which type of people is the best? Who is the best person? And Prophet Muhammad answered, peace be upon him, he said, a person who is truth in his tongue, that he says the truth, mm-hmm. and who is also mahmum al-qalb. They asked him, what do you mean by mahmum al-qalb? He said, a person who is, or whose heart is clean, pious, a heart which doesn't have any tendency towards sin, aggression, grudge, or jealousy. In the collection of hadith by Bukhari, the Prophet, peace be upon him, also said it even more explicitly when he said that, do not try to cut yourself out from each other. Don't engage in too many disputes. Do not turn your back from others, from your other brethren. Do not hate each other. Do not be jealous from each other. And be all the servants of God as brothers. Indeed, he continued saying that it is not legitimate for a Muslim to boycott his brother for more than 3 days. That's again recognition of reality, that sometimes you feel angry, you don't feel like talking to someone. Okay, that's recognition of human nature, that's permissible, but no more than 3 days. And then he said that the best of them, or the better of them, is the one who starts first by offering a greeting of peace to the other. If the other person accepted, fine. If he doesn't, then the person would have done his duty and discharged his responsibility. So this is the kind of attitude which caused people to do this. Just to give you another example of this, which is a beautiful one. One time, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was sitting with his companions. And then he said, in a couple of minutes, or now, someone who will go to paradise will pass before you. They kept looking, who's that person? And then they saw a very simple person who was making ablution before the prayer, washing, and still his beard is wet, and there is a sort of light in his face. And the following day, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, repeated the same thing. One of the people who are going to go to paradise is going to pass before you. And they looked, it was the same person. The third day, the same person. So one of the companions of the Prophet by the name of Abdullah wondered, what qualities are there in this very simple person that make him among the people who are destined to paradise as revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So he made a little trick to find out. So he went to that fellow. He made a white lie. He said, listen, I had some dispute with my father and I swore that I would not stay in the house for 3 days. Would you be able to please take me as a guest of yours? He wanted to go in his house to find out, to observe his behavior.
Yes.
He said, sure, you're welcome. Come over. So Abdullah kept all night watching. What is he doing by way of worship so that he really deserved to go to paradise? Then he noted that he's just simply finished his prayers, he sleeps. But whenever he wakes up at night, he just remembers God and makes application. And then he woke up early in the morning at dawn time for prayers. He watched him for 3 nights. It was the same pattern. So he went to him and said, listen, when we were sitting with the Prophet, 3 times he said that you're among the people who are going to go to paradise. I couldn't find anything unusual about your behavior that make you deserve that. What is it? He said, there's nothing but what you have seen. And when Abdullah started going away, the man called him again and said, listen, I want to tell you that when I sleep, I don't feel any grudge or envy or evil towards anyone. So that showed that just this quality of purity of the heart, of not trying to carry too many grudges, or any grudge at all if you can help it, was combined with very little work, very little worship. Just the basic acts of worship and goodness of the heart justified the person going to paradise.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, is there any documented or any authority which obliges the Muslim to accept an apology in the cases of maybe he's been involved in some kind of dispute and there's been some misunderstanding or there's been some conflict? Is there any documented obligation on the part of the Muslim to accept an apology?
Well, there are several. Of course, in the early part of the program, we quoted the verse in the Quran, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَحُ Let them forgive and overlook. So the Quran itself speaks about quality of forgiveness, and this is only one example. In terms of specific tradition, prophetic tradition, we refer, for example, to Ibn Majah, a collection of prophetic sayings, in which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says that whoever apologizes to his brother, that's for something wrong that he has done to him or inappropriate action, and that person to whom the apology was offered did not accept, he would have sin as much as the sin of a person who takes people's property away from them without any justified reason. That was regarded as an evil thing, as a vice, to reject an apology when a sincere apology is being offered to the person. The same meaning or the same basic teaching was also narrated in another source, Tabarani, in different words also, that whoever is apologized to, that is a person apologizing to you, and a person rejects the apology, then he will not come to the pond in the Day of Judgment. The pond here is a symbol of a pond in paradise where Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, would be offering drink to those who enter into paradise. In At-Tabarani also, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, asked his people, do you know who are the worst, the most evil among people? They said, no, you tell us. He said, it is the person who want to stay just by himself all the time, a person who punishes or physically punish his slave, is not kind to him, and the person who also prevent or withhold his help to his brethren when they are in need. And then he told them, should I tell you about someone even who is more evil than that? They said, yes. He said, a person who hates people and who is hated by people. And then he said, should I tell you about somebody who is even more evil than that? They said, yes. He said, those who do not accept an apology and do not try to correct a situation like that and never had the attitude to forgive a sin or a mistake of someone else. So it's quite obvious from this, as only a few examples, that the idea when an apology is offered is not to humiliate the person apologizing to you, but to accept it in good faith and in good spirit. See, this is a matter of not just trying to get the past every time, like when there's any family problem, for example, husband and wife, and somebody made a mistake, and it's always happened. The husband apologizes to the wife, or wife apologizes to the husband, and say, oh, okay, but you forgot that last month you did so-and-so, and last year you did so 7 years ago you did so-and-so, and 10 years back, you see, this is the attitude of trying always to be overly critical of people, forgetting that we ourselves also make mistakes, and we do expect the courtesy also of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to look at another aspect now that's related to this whole question of purity of heart, and that's the question of jealousy. Now, what is Islam's view of that?
Well, jealousy, in fact, is a sort of pride or implication of pride. The Quran indicated, as was covered in a previous program, that one of the reasons why Satan was ousted from paradise was this attitude of envy. In the Quran, for example, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِهِ, he was addressing God, not only that you created mankind from clay and I am in a superior a superior creature from fire. But he said, are you going to take this mankind and his progeny, or Adam and his progeny, as you know, people who are close to you more than me? So the jealousy also in the heart of Satan was one aspect of his deviation, which led to his disobedience of God's command. The result of this type of jealousy is that a person becomes a loser, and sometimes even in the height of jealousy, a person would harm other people as he harms himself. Like in the Arabic proverb, sometimes it says "Alayya wa ala a'da'i." Some even people say that, okay, if I'm harmed, I don't mind if I'm hurt, and my enemies also are hurt. That's not the type of attitude that Islam teaches. Because that was the attitude of Satan in chapter 7, verse 16 in the Quran. When Satan was ousted from paradise, he said, okay, because that happened to me, I'll try to mislead that mankind. Because he knows he's going to go to the hellfire, so he wanted to get as many people to give him company there. Yes. So that again reflects an outcome of this kind of jealousy. And no wonder then that we find that in authentic collections of prophetic sayings, like in Abu Dawood and Al-Bayhaqi, for example, Prophet, peace be upon him, said, for example, in the first one, watch or keep away, beware of jealousy, because jealousy eats your good deeds as fire eats wood. In Al-Bayhaqi, for example, he said, two things can never combine in the same heart of the believer, belief and jealousy. They can't be in the same heart of a believer.
Well, now, in the two or so minutes that we have remaining on today's program, I wonder if there's any practical suggestions that you can make as to how one can deal with a very common thing like anger, particularly should he or she be provoked, for example. Is there any practical suggestion you can make?
Well, the first thing is to ask oneself first, is it really jealousy or envy? Because Islam is not against envy in a positive sense, envy in the sense of saying, if you see someone who is being blessed by God with certain things, you don't feel or you don't hope that he will be destroyed, or you try to destroy him in order to get it yourself, but to say, may God bless him, oh God, give me also. That's one thing, to make sure first that you're really talking about jealousy rather than envy. Secondly, one should ask himself, am I really getting angry for God's sake or for my own sake? And it would be good to remember here that the Prophet, peace be upon him, indicated that, or people around him actually said that he never really took revenge for himself, unless the boundaries of God were trespassed. But for his own personal, you know, ego, he never really took revenge from anyone. Another practical recommendation given by the Prophet, peace be upon him, what to do in the case of anger, that was narrated in At-Tirmidhi. He said, don't you notice that anger has some kind of burning character? He said, when somebody is very angry, don't you look at the redness in his eye and the swellness in his cheeks? He said, should anyone feel something like that, this rage or anger, let him stay or keep close to earth. That is, stay in his place. Don't try to move, because if you start doing something, it could be quite disastrous. In another saying, he said, if a person happened to get angry, if he's walking, let him stand. If he's standing, let him sit. If he's sitting, let him sleep. That means, again, try to, you know, quiet yourself a little bit and keep cool. One recommendation is to take a cold shower, just to take that heat off. That was also recommended. Above all, one should also try to learn to be patient and control that anger, rather than starting to curse everything. And when something doesn't go right, the car doesn't start, you start cursing the car and possibly the mechanic and everybody else. So to try to get this quality of dependence on God and keeping cool as much as one can.
Okay, but we'll leave it at that for today's program. We want to invite you back next week, when we'll have our next program in the series dealing with the moral teachings of Islam. Thank you for watching. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Allah.
Lord.